citizens brainwashed by all the rules, brainwashed by our leaders, by our kings and queens, brainwashed in the open and brainwashed behind the scenes.
Highly confused.
He is a lunatic.
Let's challenge his shattered view of the world.
Here's a little action for the never believer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of the things that's wrong, would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn and walk away? What would you do if you knew all the things we knew?
Love is the only truth, everything else is illusion.
Info. Go there. Look at the Monday schedule. Click on the Make a Donation button. Download the MP3 archives. It is Monday night, January 21st, 2008. It is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Also today, it's a Ron Paul fundraising day. Might want to go check out RonPaul2008.com if you're into that. And if you're listening live, if you're listening on podcast, you will not be able to do that, but you can still go give money. With any luck, tonight we are going to have someone pop in to give us some interesting backstory on some of what was going on with the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., specifically one of the lawyers involved in the whole mess. So look forward to that. And we're going to cover some news. We're going to cover what happened in Nevada at the Nevada caucus. And we might get some 9/11 research done as well. Let's do one thing we often do at this time of the show, and that is check the Ron Paul legislative update. It's a good way to find out about what's going on Capitol Hill as far as the horse trading going on in Congress.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for January 20th. It has been over 6 years since the atrocities of September 11th were committed, and there are still some very basic measures that need to be taken to bring the perpetrators to justice and make America safer. I have proposed legislation to help with these efforts and will continue to fight in Congress for the safety and security of the American people. My legislation, entitled the Mark and Reprisal Act of 2007, makes the surgical strike option available to the President in our mission to capture bin Laden. Our military has been pursuing him without a result far too long, and it's high time all constitutional tools were utilized in the hunt for this dangerous madman. As an American, it sickens me to know that bin Laden and top leaders of al-Qaeda remain at large and thumbing their noses at us while we unravel the sacred fabric of our Constitution out of fear. It is Osama bin Laden and the perpetrators of terrorist attacks that ought to be afraid of us, not the other way around. The answers are to be found in the Constitution. We should boldly root out the perpetrators and not let them get away with their crimes against us. We are the home of the brave and should use letters of mark and reprisal to bring bin Laden to justice. Also, we need to take serious steps to prevent terrorists from gaining easy access to targets on our soil. Quite alarmingly, even with the knowledge that the 19 terrorist hijackers entered our country legally and that 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia, student visas from terrorist-sponsoring countries are still far too easily obtained. In a baffling move, President Bush struck a deal with Saudi King Abdullah in 2005 to allow 21,000 more Saudi young men into the U.S. on student visas. Of course, not all students from terrorist-sponsoring countries are terrorists, but I place a higher premium on the security of the American people than the convenience of citizens of hostile countries. We should not be making the goals of would-be terrorists easier to accomplish, but rather should be vigilant about defending against enemies at every turn. They should not be slipping through our doors so easily, using our immigration laws against us, and that is why I propose the Terror Immigration Elimination Act to toughen standards for visas from countries of the on the State Department's list of terrorist-sponsoring countries, in addition to Saudi Arabia. Just as you decide who to invite into a dinner party in your home, we should be in charge of who we allow in this country without apology. A lot has been done to fight the war on terrorism, and much of it has been misdirected. But there are some tools still needed and more progress to be made. My bills, the Mark and Reprisal Act of 2007 and the Terror Immigration Elimination Act, are logical steps in the right direction. Thank you for calling this legislative update. A new update is placed.
And there you go. I think part of what's important there is you have to realize when you're talking about the Saudi, the so-called hijackers or whatever. By the way, if you want to chime in on that, it's 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-REVERE-0 because, of course, this is Revere Radio Network, Total Information Radio, Total411.info. Anyway, what Ron Paul was saying in there, going on about the visas from the terrorist nations like Saudi Arabia. And, of course, that was one of the scams, was that none of the patsies who got in, you know, who they tell us were plane hijackers, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, were from Saudi Arabia. And they were just let in against the rules. There's this guy, Michael Springman, who's like, no, these guys are real shady. They can't be let in. But word comes down to the State Department from the CIA to let them in. So, meanwhile, the State Department has all these countries officially classified as terrorists, and then the CIA is bringing people in from those countries to be their operatives and their patsies and their what have you. And, of course, out in Florida, it's really might remind you of General Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson. He had the problem with the Indians were launching terrorist raids using Indian patsies from Florida back before that was part of these United States. Anyway, can also come in on the chat room. It's just click on the chat button at revereradionetwork.com. And I'm just trying to arrange our guests tonight who might come on, give us some interesting background on Martin Luther King. Now, by the way, sell your stocks. Now, I want to talk about the Nevada delegate count. If you were listening to the program we had on before in the live stream, that was Loop Radio from Friday night, where your host called in to that host and explained that the Mormons were trying to throw the election in Nevada to Romney. And that's true, and they certainly threw those totals that came on the CNN to Romney. But you have to remember that that was, a lot of that was a beauty contest, in that They were busting in all these Mormons from out of state, but they were just voting on precinct-level delegates. They were going to go to county delegates and then state delegates and then national delegates. And so the GOP, Republican Party, kept changing rules and locations over and over, and they tried to make it. At first, it was going to be closed caucus, so only Republicans could vote. And then they realized that Ron Paul was probably going to win. So they said, okay, well, anybody can vote. You just have to sign an affidavit that you think you're a registered Republican. And then some people called on that, and some of the county party level people weren't going to do that. They said no. So they said, okay, we'll leave it up to each county head and or each precinct head. So what you had some caucus sites where there were honest votes being taken, and then you might have in the same building actually another precinct in that same caucus site where it was some corrupt GOP / organized crime / Mormon mafia guy in charge who just like let anyone vote. But each side would still only get those five precinct delegates, even if the fraudulent precinct was running up the beauty contest straw poll total for Romney. So, and also, Paul might have won the delegate race, or it split it with Romney, or lost it by one. But right now, the delegate numbers are given out are false. So, anyway, we are live. Why don't we run a couple promos, a promo and a song real quick while we try to line up one of our guests this evening. So keep listening to Revere Radio Network.
Revere Radio is listener supported. We need your donations to pay for live internet streaming radio, our toll-free call-in number, and our website, free MP3 archive links, and interactive forums.
Your loving gives me a bill, but your loving don't pay my bills. Now give me more. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Wow.
Just go to RevereRadioNetwork.com and click on the Make a Donation button.
Free speech, even when it's ugly. You're listening to the one and only Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
RevereRadioNetwork.com.
And we are back live on Revere Radio Network Monday night. Still trying to line up some information about behind the scenes shenanigans and what happened with Martin Luther King Day. By the way, I'm sitting here in the Revere Radio Skype chat room. It's a text chat room. You don't need to be plugged up to your microphone, but you go to revereradionetwork.com. And right beneath the new Make a Donation button, which is also a fascinating button, there's a button that says Chat. And you click on that, and you go right into this chat room. And one of the chatters pointed out that it's not just Martin Luther King Day, and it's also Lee Jackson King Day and or Robert E. Lee Day, Robert E. Lee's birthday. And someone, I think, pointed out that Robert E. Lee was a hard-ass motherfucker. I think that was the exact term. It scrolled out, but you do want to check that out in the chat room. And I think I might have something that proves that point. Here in the Total Info Bunker, we have two little statues that we put on our little computer equipment. One is the Buddy Christ from the film Dogma. The other is a pewter statue of General Robert E. Lee from Vicksburg, I believe is where it's from. Vicksburg, Mississippi, which the Yankees had laid siege to for so long. And I just, moments ago, found the Buddy Christ, and his right arm is missing. So, Buddy Christ has a detachable arm, and Robert E. Lee is rock solid. And, so there you go. That's the state of things right here tonight on Martin Luther King Day. On Revere Radio Network, which is now affiliated with UncoverTheNews.com. Go there to uncover all the news that you need to uncover in affiliation with RevereRadioNetwork.com, where you can make a donation. So let's see if we have our guests ready here. Other news going on tonight. Well, we got the Real ID card. That is coming up. There was a big press conference about that recently. And a lot of states are still telling the federal government to go fuck themselves, so that's good. Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who's a Republican against the drug war, endorsed Ron Paul today. So it's been a long weekend, and why don't we listen to just a little bit of Martin Luther King Jr. while we pull the rest of the show together. So keep listening to RevereRadioNetwork.com.
A contrast of poverty and wealth, righteous indignation. It will look across the seas and see individual capitalists of the West invest in huge sums of money in Asia, Africa, and South America, only to take the profits out with no concern for the social betterment of the countries. Say this is not just. It will look at our alliance the landed gentry of Latin America and say, this is not just. Western arrogance of feeling that it has everything to teach others. Nothing to learn from them is not just. True revolution of values will lay hands on the world order. Say of war, this way of settling differences is not just. This business of burning human beings with napalm, filling our nation's homes and with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate through the veins of peoples normally humane, sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, not be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. Thank you. tradition that continues year after year. Spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Oh, my friends, if that is any one thing that we must see today, is that these are revolutionary times. All over the globe, men are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression. And out of the wounds of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being born. The shirtless and barefoot people of the land are rising up as never before. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. They are saying unconsciously, as we say in one of our freedom songs, they ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I am speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to ultimate reality. This Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist belief about ultimate reality beautifully summed up in the first epistle of John. Let us love one another, for God is love. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We love one another. God dwelleth in us. His love is perfected in us. Let me say finally that I oppose the war in Vietnam because I love America. I speak out against this war, not in anger, with anxiety and sorrow in my heart, above all with a passionate desire to see our beloved country stand as the moral example of the world. I speak out against this war because I'm disappointed with America. There can be no great disappointment.
And there we go. That was Martin Luther King speaking out against the Vietnam War. Pretty interesting speech, and I think a part of that might have been why the elites turned on him. Now, we have someone on the line here who is going to join us in just a second, and we're just going to touch on whether or not something might have gone wrong with... There was an eventual civil suit brought by the King family against the government, alleging a conspiracy in the death of Martin Luther King, and the family won. They only won $1. And their lawyer in the case was someone named Dr. William Pepper. And I'm just going to read this short blurb from Code Magazine, February 2000. Dr. William Pepper. The King family's lawyer and the major orchestrator of the wrongful death lawsuit in Memphis started out as a journalist. Reportedly, it was Pepper's article in Ramparts that turned King against the Vietnam War. Years later, he became Ray's lawyer and convinced the King family that Ray was innocent. His 1995 book, Orders to Kill, from Carolyn Graff, is a decent account of what might have happened, but it was discredited on ABC's Primetime Live, where Pepper claimed that a supposedly dead Army intelligence officer, Billy Ray Eidson, had led a hit team against King in Memphis. But when it's E-I-D-S-O-N, I don't know if that's Eidson or Aidson. When Eidson showed up very much alive and pissed off, Pepper's credibility went out the window. Eidson later sued Pepper. Ironically, Pepper's reputation was somewhat restored when the chief of the fire station across from the Lorraine Motel testified that he had indeed given permission for two Army intelligence officers to watch King from a fire tower that was hardly a good spit away from the balcony King was standing on. So, there you go. That is from Code Magazine, February 2000. And apparently some people are beginning to believe that this William Pepper might be up to no good. And I'm not familiar with his MLK work, but I do know he's been being used by some dark forces in the so-called 9/11 movement, but he just always seemed kind of old and out of it and more of a patsy to me. But we have a guest on the line. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us about what's going on?
Okay, it's Peggy Carter. And I, I've my oldest friend in New York City, he was from Memphis. He lived in Memphis at the time of the King assassination, and he was a teenage journalist, and he was in a police station.
And just so people, just so Peggy know, Peggy's been on the show a few times, and she's legit. I just want to give let y'all know. Go ahead.
So he heard something there in the police station, which led him to know from the very beginning that there was something not right about the Martin Luther King event. And he went on to write about it, and he had a deal with a magazine. It was I can't remember the name of the magazine, but it was a for African American.
Mm-hmm.
And he had he was being given $10,000 to write this story about the Martin Luther King case, that was the family's case of wrongful death suit against the government. And he was paid, you know, the kill fee. In other words, he wrote it, and then they paid him, and they did not publish it. And
sure.
he stopped really doing investigative journalism or writing anything but fiction since then, because he felt that it was it wasn't something that
it wasn't
was
real
acceptable. Well, it wasn't acceptable for him to write what he was writing, and he could, you know, he's a writer, he's trying to make a living. As it is, he's just, like, basically living on cabbage soup and in a place where it's subsidized for artists here in New York City. So he realized it was, he's going against the stream, you know, running against the stream.
Sure, sure.
So anyway, he got to know Mr. Pepper, and he's told me the story many times over the years. And then I became involved with 9/11 truth issues, and he was a bit skeptical about it all along, but he kind of humors me. He's, like I said, my oldest friend in New York City. But, you know, he told me that what happened with Pepper was that Pepper had the case really nailed. He had it basically proved that, you know, the government was involved. But mm-hmm. what happened is that they kind of, he kept going.
The assassination of Martin Luther King.
Right. And he kept, in other words, Pepper kept going and talking about things that maybe he couldn't really prove. And then they disproved him on those things, and then they used that to make it as though the whole thing was bogus. It was really like a psychological operation. And it basically reminds me of what happened with James Hatfield, mm-hmm. where he had the book Fortunate Son, and it was, you know, accurate.
Yeah, about Bush, about baby Bush.
Right, and he was fed, it was, I guess, the idea that, yeah, if you...
He was given some bad information about cocaine or something, probably by Rove.
Yeah, it was, he had told people that it was Karl Rove who fed him the information about the cocaine bust, and he had fed him the incorrect information about the judge, the name of the judge. But the actual incident was accurate. And they set him up because he had been involved with a crime some 7-10 years earlier where he tried to set up his boss, his employer.
Yeah, of course he's dead now. They found him. He supposedly shot himself to death in Arkansas, right?
Well, they claim that he committed suicide, but I don't believe it. And the reason I don't is because he was getting death threats for weeks.
They call that Arkansas. So back to Pepper, I understand what you're saying, and that was in the article we read. He was discredited on national ABC primetime, and that's what everyone remembers. People don't remember that the King family won the case.
Right, and so it's sort of a propaganda issue whereby, you know, the information isn't looked at, but it's good enough because they can make a huge scandal out of whoever's presenting the information or that some little detail is wrong when the actual story is actually correct. And I believe the same thing was done with Dan Rather and those allegedly forged papers about Bush's service. The fact was that, yeah, Bush really did. He was a deserter. And that's proved. But, you know, they tried to make it into, you know, some issue over the authenticity of particular documents, which is beside the point when the actual issue is that, yeah, it was true, he was a deserter.
Yeah, and running all around Arkansas and Alabama, and, you know, who knows, probably flying coke in from Central America. So that's the meat of the case, what we heard right there. Do you know anything about that name in particular? Was it Einhorn, the military officer who he supposedly falsely implicated?
You're talking about Dan Rather?
No, Pepper.
Well, you know, some of these stories, you know, I hear the whole story, and I took notes. I tried to get as much down, and I've heard it many times before, but what I understood was that he had claimed that someone was, dead, and they weren't.
Yeah.
And they came out on the show to surprise him, so it was basically ambush journalism. And his publisher, Pepper's publisher, was sued for $17 million, but that was never followed through. They never actually got the money or anything, but it was just for publicity. You know, the idea, oh, now he's getting sued for $7 million. So that was the basic story, was that, you know, Pepper was somebody who overreached himself,
So it sounds like he might have been set up.
Yeah, he was set up, or he was ambushed. And
because I've heard him on some of these 9/11 shows, and, you know, he's not the mastermind. He's being set up sometimes by leading questions, and it's just I can see that happening. And do we know is how did he get this job being the king's lawyer, king Farmer's lawyer?
This is something that people don't really know, that people have been trying to learn, that are kind of that are investigating his past. For instance, he claims on the 9/11 blogger site that, or at least whoever wrote his biography, that he is a member of the bar in many states of the United States, and a friend lawyer of mine did a search on every single state and did spend a lot of time researching it, and he is not a member of any bar in the United States. And and as well, they don't know, you know, there's no record of him ever attending law school or graduating from law school. His only real claim to be some type of legal mind is that he was appointed a barrister in England.
Is he British?
So, no.
Weird. Very weird.
And the other thing is that I was reading up on what it takes to be a barrister. Apparently, there's no qualification. It's simply the appointed position. In other words, the people who are called the inn, and I think it's spelled I-I-N-N. But I guess it's some type of a body there, a group. They're the ones who appoint barristers, and they don't. There's no qualification other than you be appointed by this particular body.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be legal minds, and they're supposed to be people that advise, people called solicitors. They don't litigate. And when I told my friend who knew Pepper and who actually witnessed the trial, that Pepper was likely not a lawyer, or at least doesn't look like he was trained as one. He just laughed, and he said, yeah, well, from how he behaved in the courtroom, it really looks like that. And
So who was the judge that let him be the lawyer? I mean, the judge had to sign off on it, didn't he?
That's a good point. I mean, I think that Pepper has been, you know, it looks like if you look at his career, he gets everywhere just by knowing people. And, you know, according to certain reports, he was involved with negotiating financial arrangements for people who were being deposed, like heads of state in foreign countries that were being deposed. So he's had some interesting, interesting occupations, if that's actually correct. He was also known as a photographer in Vietnam, and that was how he got to know Dr. Spock. I don't know, the baby doctor.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Spock.
Somehow he's in with Dr. Spock.
Isn't Dr. Spock into eugenics somehow, or?
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know what else was involved with his Vietnam, but he was a photographer in Vietnam, but sometimes people are led to believe that he was, you know, he served in Vietnam. He never served in Vietnam. He was a photographer there.
Well, let me ask maybe one more question, and you may know the answer, may not know the answer, but maybe you could pass this along, because this is what I'm most interested in when I think about it. Probably the most important thing to come out of a court case like the one that the King family filed would have been the record, the documents, the depositions, you know, the court record that would come about from questioning people under oath. Mm-hmm. And my interest would be, what kind of record did this guy leave? Did he really depose anyone important, and how much did he get down? What did he let go? Now, it seems to me, I've read, I don't want to totally jump on the hate train for this guy yet, because I think I have read documents that did come out of that case, so I don't know that I can just write the whole thing off as counterproductive, but maybe people who have looked into the case more than I have, especially how that civil case went, could see what kind of missed opportunities there were. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard anyone say anything about that?
Well, what I remember my friend saying was that he felt that that he did a good job to a degree. He hired detectives,
mm-hmm.
and he chased down this person, Jowers, and he did a lot
of the diner.
He got certain things accomplished. There's a few questions. Where he gets his money is never really known. You know, where he got the money to hire the detectives and do all this.
Did the King family not give him the money?
I don't think so. I think she's very, what I understand is Coretta King doesn't like to part with money.
Huh.
She's very, you know, she's a little tight with it, yeah. That was what I was told.
And go on.
And so anyway, there was one issue, which was there was a man who, okay, I don't know how much you know about the case, but what I understand came out is that James Earl Ray wasn't even at the location.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even there. He'd taken his Mustang to get the tire fixed. And James Earl Ray was somebody who thought he was going to be shooting Martin Luther King. And he had been supported and given money and travel money. And he assumed that he was supposed to, but...
Sure, he definitely had travel records. I remember that.
It wasn't really left up to him because, in other words, he was the patsy. But the main thing, he was supposed to be shot when he was there, and he wasn't there. And so they didn't catch him until 2 weeks later in England. And the whole issue of how he got out of the country, how he had a passport, or how they even know that it was him, because the only guy that was a witness was a guy that was known to be
passed
out
drunk.
Because
they gave him the fake passport in the first place.
Yeah, well, you know, anyway, so the whole thing was a cock-up, if you want to put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And but somehow, because they were, you know, people, you know, we know how these things work, they have control of the information, and it was, you know, the issue of the man that was in charge of the Memphis Police Department, or put in charge of the Memphis Police Department, was the man who had previously been in charge of the FBI surveillance of King. So,
huh.
That isn't widely known either.
The chief of the Memphis Police?
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Just like when they killed JFK, the chief of the Dallas Police was the brother of, like, the number two guy in the CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway, and apparently, okay, he was never going to get a trial. You know, this James Earl Ray is never going to get a trial because basically, you know, they can't have any of this coming out or any kind of, you know, any information coming out. It's like with the 9/11 people that are, you know, would be like facing the airline.
And actually, I know the original trial for James Earl Ray, they threw the original judge off because the original judge knew, like, the ballistics were all crap because, like, he knew about guns and stuff, and he was about to blow the whistle on the whole thing, and all of a sudden, like, the the higher courts just took him off the case.
Well, that was a guy named, I think his name was, I'm trying to think of what his name, the judge, Joe Brown.
Yeah.
And he became a Hollywood judge. But this was already in the 90s. See, James Earl Ray was never, ever given a trial. It was never given a trial.
Yeah, and the civil
but
trial.
This man, the Joe Brown was going to give him a trial. And then, you know, I guess he got an offer he couldn't refuse to become a TV judge or something. And he was removed from the bench, right,
so
about...
Like Woody Harrelson's father was one of the gunmen in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that Hollywood connection. But so anyway, I don't know where I was, except the fact of the matter that James Earl Ray wasn't at the location of the attack. Oh, this is what came out with Pepper, is that there was some man who was given $100,000 to find a hitman.
Uh-huh.
And my friend believes that this guy was already known to be a hitman, and he probably would have just taken the $100,000 and done it himself. And he, you know, because why give it to someone else if you can just do it yourself? Anyway, he tried to, you know, talk to Pepper about this, and Pepper wouldn't go there. That's all I know. But that was, you know, there's a few, you know, interesting things about Pepper, because it's when someone's incompetent up to a certain point, you know, you start looking at it and you start thinking, it starts looking deliberate if they're too incompetent.
Yeah, and so I guess that's what the question is, and I don't know, just that maybe people should hear that, and I also just hear a bunch of the other background on the case. Do you have anything else for us on Martin Luther King or any other activist topics before you go?
Well, lately there's this ballot initiative in New York City, and Pepper has sort of come in and decided to take charge of it, or Les Jameson.
Now, this is a 9/11 related ballot initiative?
Yeah. They're trying to get a referendum,
mm-hmm.
to have a reinvestigation, even though I don't believe that there was a first investigation, so it should just be a plain old investigation. But he's changed the wording of the petition that was written by someone else to take out the role of the city attorney general, and they wanted to have somebody that would have a role of to raise money for it. And also to...
what they need is a city grand jury or state grand jury sitting in the city with an unlimited investigative budget. That's what the referendum should say.
Well, if you could, you know, explain that to me, because I didn't quite hear that. Could you say that one more time?
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking that it sounds like anything, it would just be another kind of controlled investigation. And really what you want is a citizen grand jury, and maybe you could have a ballot initiative to give it an unlimited budget or something like that. But, you know, any group of enough local citizens can form a grand jury and issue indictments. It's just people have to know what they're doing. And I think they can create one by a ballot initiative, not this, you said city attorney, and you said that Pepper even took out city attorney, and what does he want to investigate it?
Well, the petition was written by a lawyer and put all together, and then when Pepper got it, he took it for 5 months. He was going to revise it and, you know, write it himself, but when he did, all he did was just take out the provision for a city attorney general, and that would be the way in which they would get money. That was the way that the plan was, that they were going to be able to finance it.
Oh, through the city attorney general's office. So he took out the only financing mechanism?
Right.
That's bizarre.
And then he wanted to know how would he finance it. So one of the people he wanted to finance it was Hugo Chavez. And the other thing he wanted to do was he wanted to get corporations to finance it. So, and then the other thing they have is they've already picked out the people that they're going to be on this panel. they're having a, like a, you know, the investigative panel.
Now, is that like when people go to vote on a ballot initiative, is it going to have these people's names on it or what?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I had the list of who they were here just a minute ago, but basically it's going to be people like Edgar Mitchell.
And remind us who he is.
He's an astronaut.
Oh, an astronaut. So he's already complicit in covering up the whole moon thing, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and they were gonna have. Let me see. Oh,
is that the one who saw UFOs? Is that the astronaut who saw UFOs?
They were going to also have, William Pepper himself on it.
Oh, great.
And then they were going to pay them. This is all part of the revised petition initiative.
Uh-huh.
And also just as a...
So Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, as a side note, by changing the wording of the petition, all the petitions that were already gathered, which it took many, many months of, you know, asking Les Jameson how many there were, and he was stonewalling it, finally came up as 800. But what it means is that all those that were signed are invalid now because you've changed the wording of the ballot initiative. So that's an aside, but
so they're probably not going to get it on the ballot anyway, is what you're saying.
Well, I talked to my friend Chris Garvey, and he ran for Attorney General on the 9/11 ticket, and he said that he thought it was a good thing for the Libertarian Party to support, basically because it's a way in which of introducing the whole subject and the idea to people. But that the fact is that even if you got 50,000 signatures, which is difficult, and he knows because he's tried to get signatures for different...
then he could use it mailing list.
Right. He was very experienced in getting these kind of signatures, because in order for him to get on the ballot, which he was for Attorney General running on the Libertarian Party, he's been doing this for years, and it's very hard to get on the ballot as a third party, and he's had to collect signatures. And he said 50,000 is very, very hard to get. And he said that even if you would get it, the problem is that someone, you know, Bloomberg, the mayor, has the...
You just start throwing a bunch of them out.
Yeah, it's his choice whether he wants to put it on the ballot or not, even after you get the So, in other words, you know, you could go to all that trouble and then have the mayor just override you. So, that was part of it, too.
That is a bizarre... What a bizarre... Obviously, I mean... Just a time sink. That's a black hole of energy. Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe as a tool for political organizing or something, but Bloomberg, you might as well try, you know, they should just try to run your friend for city council instead. That would seem to be more useful than asking Bloomberg to please let Hugo Chavez in Bain Capital, Mitt Romney or whatever, or maybe Bloomberg News finance another investigation into 9/11. Maybe the History Channel, maybe Hearst. It could be Hearst and Hugo.
And this is also who the commissioners are, and according to this new drawn-up ballot initiative that's been amended by Pepper,
uh-huh,
people will be getting $125,000 a year for serving on this panel.
And those three people would be Ed Asner, a.k.a. Lou Grant.
William Pepper,
the lawyer who's not a lawyer, and Edgar Mitchell, who's, I believe, is the astronaut who tells us all about the UFOs he saw and how he talked with them psychically, but never has anything to tell us about why the Apollo moon missions don't make any sense. So
I just wanted to name
the
rest of them.
Paid for by Hugo.
Who they've named. They've named Edgar Mitchell, Lincoln Chafee, who's a Republican of U.S. Senator from Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah, he's former senator now.
Mm-hmm, former
Ridiculous.
Senator. Ed Asner,
uh-huh,
one of the 9/11 widows named Glory Van Oken. She's called a Jersey girl. William Pepper himself,
mm-hmm,
and then a Native American named Splitting the Sky.
Splitting the Sky. What is his connection?
Well, I guess he represents a different, you know, demographic. He's
his ancestors sold Manhattan for the beads.
Yeah, he's a part of the League of Indigenous Sovereign Nations of the Western Hemisphere.
Interesting.
So,
yeah, Mohawk. I think Mohawk was up there, right there, part of the League of the Iroquois in the Northeast.
Mohawk. And then the Bishop Thomas Gumbleton, and somebody said, my friend said that there was some kind of rumors about him having problems with, you know, pedophilia. And then
What church is Bishop Gumbleton from?
He's Catholic.
Okay. Like the main Catholic church. Go ahead.
He says he's a president of Pax Christi USA. It's on and on. I'm assuming he's a Catholic bishop. Pastor of St. Leo's Parish in the inner city of Detroit. And so this is the other thing. A lot of these people don't even live in New York, so they have to fly them in.
I've got it up on...
Then they have to put them up in hotel rooms.
That's so ridiculous. Again, that's why you want a grand jury if people live there. You should have... Who lives in... it should be a grand jury if people who live in southern Manhattan. That's who it should be.
And then the other one is Ralph Schoenman. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yes, I know him. He's an old school leftist on public radio and has interesting things to say occasionally, I guess, but...
If you can stay awake.
Yes, if you can stay. It's like apparently Hugo Chavez does it too. Goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I remember I went to one of the 9/11 anniversaries up there. I forgot what year it was. Oh shit. I forgot what year it was, and I just remember that guy would not shut up. But whatever. So that's very interesting. So ballot initiative for all the 125 for each of those. Plus, I mean, do they pay detectives or anything, or they just give those guys money to read reports from William Pepper?
That part I haven't gotten into. I haven't heard that far yet. I didn't read the actual, the actual petition.
Okay.
But that's what's up on the website.
Maybe they'll fly them all out to Burning Man, the Truth Burn. Oh man, I'm just I'm so bitter about everything. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Do you have a website or anything like that? A group up there you want to plug?
No, I don't have anything to plug right at the moment. I think everyone should look on, see the new social service, the social service videos about the plane, the media hoax.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'm way behind on my YouTube, so that's is it livevideo.com/social service?
Yeah, Nose Out is his latest, so I guess you can search under Nose Out.
All right, well, I can't endorse it without seeing it. That guy's kind of 50-50, but I'll tell people to go check it out and see what they think. And thanks for joining us. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye for now.
And there we go. We are one up. We got...
No great love. I'm disappointed with our failure to deal positively and forthrightly with the triple evils of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. We are presently moving down a dead-end road that can lead to national disaster. America has strayed to the far country of racism and militarism. America strayed away. This unnatural excursion has brought only confusion and bewilderment. It has left hearts aching with guilt, minds distorted with irrationality. It is time for all people of conscience to call upon America. Come back home. Come home, America. I call on Washington today. I call on every man and woman of goodwill all over America today. I call on the young men of America who must make a choice today. Take a stand on this issue. Mara may be too late. come home, America. Tomorrow may be too late.
And we are back. There was Martin Luther King Jr. reminding us that God is love on this Martin Luther King Day. And, of course, we have the Love Revolution, the Ron Paul Revolution, trying to raise some money today. So you might want to give them money. You might want to do your own thing for a Love Revolution. And just remember that we talked about Jesus earlier and the Buddy Christ. And remember that he is a lot like Martin Luther King in that both gentlemen were killed by their respective imperial governments, who then proceeded to name a holy day after them. So, think about that. Always go to total411.info and click on the Google Ads and go to revereradionetwork.com and make a donation. Peace out.